This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. Right here on WKAR. But we really need you to spread the word around, tell everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. Well, how are you doing today? We've got a great show in store for you. We're going to talk a lot of Michigan State football and awesome Michigan State hockey. So we've got tickets to give away for those sports, but we'll be talking about the Detroit Tigers today. So we'll talk some Tigers, but right now we're talking a little football, a little basketball. We've got our good friend Adam Ruff on with us. So let's bring in Adam and talk a little Michigan State football. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. I'm a little disappointed. I heard you're talking Detroit Tigers baseball, and I thought, yes, finally, I get to talk baseball on the show.
Well, that's with our next guest.
Oh, okay. All right. We can settle for Michigan State.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit of Michigan State. They're football season, amazingly, you notice how fast this went. The season has went fairly fast for us, but it's winding down. Only two home games left. Nebraska coming up this Saturday. The last two home games are very tough because we got Nebraska. Then in a couple of weeks, we'll have Northwestern, and they could certainly win. So we got two tough games left. How do you see Nebraska coming in? Because we know Michigan State and Nebraska, they're both going to run the ball. I guess whoever runs the ball best will probably win the game, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it could turn out that way. But I think with the way each team's passing game goes, I mean, you know, Taylor Martinez can be pretty hit or miss, except for this season, he's leading the league in efficiency for quarterbacks. So it could be a deep ball that beats Michigan State, or vice versa. If Andrew Maxwell gets going for Michigan State following their comeback victory, I mean, it's kind of hard to say. One thing I do know about the end of the season, like you mentioned, with Nebraska and Northwestern coming to Michigan State, the Big Ten, at least the Legends Division champion, kind of goes through East Lansing this year. Obviously, Michigan already beat Michigan State, but you know, there's Nebraska and Northwestern, and obviously Nebraska's at the top, and Northwestern's right there too. So Michigan State's got a lot to say about how this Legends Division turns out, even if it's not them being the ones going to Indianapolis this year.
Yes, they do. They will. And one thing I just wonder, how do you, when you look at this season, even though the season's not over yet, but when you look at it, how do you portray, concentrate on how do you fix the Spartans this year? How do you see this season happening for the Spartans?
Well, it's interesting, Earl. I was looking through the season in preparation for this week, and when I found that when Michigan State scores two touchdowns, just two touchdowns, Earl, they're 5-0. 5-0. So, I mean, they're you know, it's one of those seasons where they're so close, but it feels like they're so far away because how difficult it's been for the offense to get going. But all it's taken this year is two touchdowns to win football games. And when you look at their 5-4 record, I mean, in the Big Ten season, there hasn't been a game in which Michigan State's played that's been decided by more than 4 points. I mean, so I do know this about the rest of the season for Michigan State. They're probably the one team in the league that you absolutely do not want to play coming down the stretch of the season in the Legends Division. So three teams that are left on Michigan State's schedule are going to be in for it. But, I mean, if they can just get some semblance of an offense for these last couple games, they could win out. But by the same token, if they don't score two touchdowns, Earl, they could lose out still. But one thing we do know is this defense is second to none.
Yes. Now, what do you see Andrew Maxwell has to do for next year to be even better than he was this year?
Well, I think he's gotten a lot more comfortable, and we saw this last week. He used his legs once to work himself out and get a nice first down pass for Michigan State in the fourth quarter. Then another time we actually saw him scramble for a first down, something that I know he was kind of bombarded with last week from the media and I think from the coaches. And so he's able to use his feet. And I think when you can do that, when you feel like you can have control over the game in more than just one way with your arm, I think that builds a confidence level. And I think the one thing that Andrew really does need to work on going into next year is consistently using the middle of the field. I mean, if you look at these last two games, the one thing that Andrew did that was successful that created these long touchdown drives, the one they had against Michigan and the one they had against Wisconsin in the fourth quarter last week, he used the middle of the field. I mean, so much this season, they've just been thrown outside the numbers. And that's really easy to defend because then you can stack the box against the run and just leave your corners out there. Maybe you give a little safety help against Michigan State's wide receivers because all they do is go outside the numbers. So I think if you're looking for something for Andrew to work on is continue to be able to use his feet. He's not going to be a running quarterback, but to use it when it's available like he should this week against Nebraska, and then also really concentrate on using the middle of the field to make this – to really diversify the passing game, because I think that's what's been missing, and we've seen that when he does do well, he uses the middle of the field.
Okay. Well, we got a caller for you. Let's bring in Dan. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, Earl. How you doing today?
Okay.
I have a question. It's not really related to MSU athletics, but what do you think of the Tigers' decision to not re-sign Delmon Young this offseason?
Well, you know, that was one I really didn't have too much of a problem with it because, you know, he had his off-the-field problems with the Tigers. So I know that's probably one of the reasons why they're releasing him for sure. But, you know, Delmon Young was one of those guys. He was he performed good at the plate, but he couldn't field to save his life. So I really don't feel too bad with him going because they're going to have to get somebody to play that field. The left and right fields, both those spots are pretty weak. So they're going to have to do something in bad for that. So I'm not too upset that Delmon Young, because they need someone who can field the ball. That's for sure.
Okay, take care, guys.
Okay, thank you. And Adam, let's talk a little bit more about Michigan State. Is that well, you know, as we said, the guys and the defense has been so outstanding, and the offense is slowly but surely getting better. They're starting to round into shape by this time now at the end of the year. But you know, when you look at the team, as we know, every year is different. Every year they change the concepts and change what they do. They'll be slightly different in that. But does Michigan State really have? Do you think they have the goods to really be better this year, better next year than they were this year?
Oh, I don't think there's any question, because I think, you know, outside of the injuries they've had, and make no mistake, that's been a huge deal for this offensive line. When you lose your center, you lose your right tackle in Fofanodi. I mean, those are the two best offensive linemen, the two most important for this team, and they lose them right off the bat. Now they've had problems with Dan France, and they've been using a young Henry Conway. What am I thinking? That's not who's been playing out there. But, you know, they've had a lot of transition there. Donovan Clark was the guy who's been playing left tackle the last couple of weeks. They've just had so much, youth and an experience on the field, and you see that when it happens. I mean, think back to 2009, Earl, when Kirk Cousins was a sophomore. It was his first year starting. Guess what? It was also the first year of really using those receivers that really blossomed in their final 2 years, and Keyshawn Martin and B.J. Cunningham. I mean, there are so many factors that I think, you know, we in the media overlooked this year. We just focused on the fact that this Michigan State defense was going to be top-notch, which they have again. Make no mistake about that. And we kind of, you know, took for granted maybe the experience that was on this team. So I think there's nowhere to go but up for Michigan State next year. I mean, especially the quarterback position, I think that's the one position that takes the longest to get used to and takes the longest to get most comfortable at. And then the wide receiver position, I mean, that's been up in the air for quite some time. They've gotten a lot of stability lately, or a lot more stability lately, when you see Fowler stepped up and then Burbridge stepped in and took Fowler's starting role. And Keith Mumphrey's been probably the most consistent a guy in the wide receiver group all year. But experience, 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 and if you can, you know, keep those injuries off the field or away from the team, especially the offensive line, I think there's a ton of room for improvement next year, and they will be a lot better.
You know, one thing they've got to do, they didn't do it much this year, but they did it back in 2009, 2008, when the backup quarterbacks got some playing time. And this year we already see Connor Cook just got some playing time, and I think in two games this year. You know, whoever's the backup quarterback's going to be, it really, because there's no substitute for game time, as you know. And so they're going to have to give the backup quarterback some playing time to get him ready in case he's going to have to come in and do the injuries or anything like that. And that's one area where we've haven't done well at, and making sure the backups get at other positions. Yeah, that they're good, but at the quarterback position, it's been one that they haven't given the backups some adequate snaps, so in case they have to go in the game in a tough situation.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Earl. If you recall back to 2008, even, and you had Brian Hoyer here. Kirk Cousins got into some games. They put him in meaningful situations. They put him in against Ohio State at Ohio State. He played in the bowl game against Georgia. Okay, I mean, he had those valuable minutes. He didn't get a lot of minutes, but he got valuable ones, and that confidence is huge. And then when Kirk Cousins was here, obviously when he first started his sophomore year, it was kind of back and forth a little bit for a while between he and Keith Nichol, but Andrew never really got that same experience, and I do think that's a problem. Last year Andrew only played in four games and he only threw 26 passes, and he did a good job in that time, but he didn't get a whole lot of meaningful minutes. So I do agree with that sentiment. And this year there hasn't really been a chance to get a guy like Connor Cook in there. I don't know if they think he's going to be the guy or Tyler O'Connor after him. So maybe that factors into it a little bit, but you know, they tried to use him, and they probably did it a little over their head, using it for one play, trying to make something happen, which could have ended in major disaster when they did that deep in their own end on a third down. So it's interesting. There's no way Connor Cook is even close to the talent level right now as Andrew Maxwell. It would be good if Michigan State could get a lead to get him in the game. But I just don't think this season they can even really afford to do that. If you're still counting on having a halfway decent season this year in the last three games, even.
Yes, that's something. That would have helped him. I think it would have helped Connor Cook. Would have helped whoever who was going to be the backup. But you know, maybe next year they'll try to get that in and get that backup a little bit more valuable experience. Hey, I want to thank you for coming on with me, Adam. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I know I'll see you Saturday. We've only got two home games left, and then one on the road. But it's going to be interesting to see how State performs against Northwestern and Nebraska. These two teams are two very good teams, as you said, mentioned earlier. They're both in the hunt for the division title this year. It'll be interesting because Northwestern plays is really strong this year. They're really strong in run, and their quarterback is one of the better quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the Big Ten. So it'll be very interesting to see him. And of course, Taylor Martinez is very strong, and he's a good run pass guy. He has options both. Oh, let me ask you this: what do you think of Andrew Maxwell? Can you call him a run-pass quarterback, or is he basically a passing quarterback who supposedly can run from now and then, but we really haven't seen him tuck the ball away until last weekend. He tucked it away a few times, but he hasn't done much of tucking the ball and running with it, is he?
Well, obviously he's going to be a pass-first quarterback, Earl. I mean, and that's obvious, but he does have a lot more skill running the football than Kirk Cousins does. Kirk Cousins, when he would try to get out and run, which I credit him, he would try to do that now and then, especially his senior year, he looked kind of clumsy doing it. Andrew is not that way. I mean, he's a smooth runner, and I really do believe he's got good instincts in the pocket. He can feel guys very well. in the pocket field defenders, I should say, especially coming on his backside. He's very good at that. He's very good at moving around in the pocket. So, and I think last week when he did use his feet, he learned that it's okay to do that and that he can use it effectively. Again, against a team like Nebraska this week that plays man coverage with the corners, there's always opportunity to get up the middle and get some yardage if you're a quarterback. So when the opportunity presents itself, especially as the passing game struggles, and which it could struggle against Nebraska again this weekend, which obviously has very good cover cornerbacks, he's got to be able to open that up, make the Nebraska defense honest. And he can do it. Make no mistake about it. He can do it. But that's always going to be just a little caveat in his game. It'll never be a big part of it.
Okay. Hey, Adam, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll have you back on again. Maybe we'll wrap up the season here when we come up against Minnesota.
But absolutely, Earl. Always a good time talking to you.
Okay, good talking to you, Adam. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State football or Michigan State hockey, give us a call right now at 884-4870, 884-4870, area code 517-884-4870. We'll give the tickets away at the end of today's show. So whether you want to let Alex know whether you want the football tickets or the basketball tickets. And we've got a pair of football tickets to give you and a pair of basketball tickets, hockey tickets to give you. So give us a call at 855-884-4870. That's 884-4870. The time now, 22 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The war in Afghanistan goes all but unmentioned by both campaigns, but public opinion turns ever more negative on America's longest war. Amid continued insider attacks, many ask why we continue to risk American lives. Retired General Jack Keane argues it's not about the Afghans. We're in this for our own security. I'm Neil Conan. When to leave Afghanistan? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Today will be mostly cloudy, our high in the upper 40s. Variably cloudy tonight with a low of 32. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a high of 45. Mostly sunny with a high of 46 Saturday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We want to give out a hearty, very hearty congratulations to Mike Redmond, the former Lansing Lugnuts manager, is now the manager of the Florida Marlins. He got the job. He got approved today. And so congratulations to Mike, who is now the manager of the Florida Marlins after managing in the Lugnuts Lugnuts for the last couple of years. He did a very good job with them, and the Florida Marlins recognized that and took him under their wing and got him. Well, now let's talk a little baseball. Let's bring in our good friend Lynn Henning and talk a little baseball. And Lynn, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, Earl. Just getting back into an off-season routine here, which is kind of fun. You can come home and get some bills paid and take care of some shopping and just do things that otherwise seem to get forfeited here during a long playoff season.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you just heard it, but our former Lugnuts manager, Mike Redmond, got the Marlins job.
Yeah, and Bruce Fields, of course, your old friend from Magic Johnson's backcourt days at Lansing Everett is back with the organization now, too, which is good. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the new minor league hitting instructor for the Tigers, which is really the job he used to have before he went to the Indians. So this is a good job for him.
Yeah, that is good. And hopefully he'll be able to move up or maybe be able to make some headway in the Tiger organization.
Yeah, he should, because he should be managing someplace. And I've always been very disappointed that didn't work out for him. But I think for now this is really good. It brings him back to the system in which he's really been a part of for many, many years. Yeah. So I'm pleased for him and pleased for the Tigers.
Do you think that this may be Jim Leland's last year, or would you see him trying to go another year or two? Or two or three, I should say.
I don't know. I thought we just finally resolved that this week for 1 year, Earl. I think we're going to talk about that one a year from now. But I think he's year to year, and it's just going to be a constant situation of speculation as to whether or not he's coming back. But I think we'll worry about 014 maybe a few months from now.
Yeah, the Tigers did. I mean, a lot of things that happened during the year were things that we had talked about during the year. I mean, for the year, they were what they were. They were definitely a poor hitting team. They were very inconsistent all year long. That never changed. They had a few spurts where they got a few runs and put it together. But other than that, they were very inconsistent hitting wise. They had great starting pitching for the year and a bullpen that was fairly suspect. But other than that, they were enough to win, of course, their division barely. But they got it done. And now we got to wait and see. Who do they sign? Can they get better defensively? Because they certainly have to get better as a defensive team.
Yeah, they've got improvements they can and must make, and they know that. I think what happened was we kept saying, though, if they won the division, they had a very good chance of getting to the World Series because of their pitching. And sure enough, that's exactly what played out. But the first step, of course, was to get that division won, and with a couple of weeks left in the regular season, that didn't look like a very good bet. But really, they played up to their level finally, and then the White Sox kind of played down to their level. And that turnaround, I think, was justice in a lot of ways, because I do believe Detroit was simply a better team. And then they confirmed it when they beat a couple of decent teams in the playoffs. The Yankees went into a blackout mode there offensively, but a portion of that had to have been attributed to the Tigers pitching, same as it was when the Tigers didn't do anything against San Francisco. And so you can argue that two ways, but Detroit has to get better defensively, but even more fundamentally, they're going to have to do something about that offense, which they know, and it gets down to the corner outfield spots, and they'll upgrade those. I think if the Angels don't make Torii Hunter a qualifying offer, and I don't think they will because that's a $13.3 million contract, then the Tigers will be among the teams that will go after Torii Hunter. Of course, the Red Sox will, the Yankees will too, so it's going to take some money and probably an extra year. But I think they would be well-served to go after Hunter. If they don't do that, then you get into other scenarios. I'm sure the Giants will re-sign Angel Pagan, so that eliminates him. Nick Swisher will be out there, but Nick Swisher's going to be a lot of years, a lot of money, and that's not going to be, I don't think, a good deal. But Torii Hunter would make a difference. You sign him to a two-year deal, pay him a premium, and he would be precisely what they need offensively and defensively in left field. So after that, then it becomes a matter of, are you going to trade Johnny Peralta, maybe? And I think they might, and try to upgrade the defense at shortstop. But those are the moves I would look for them to make now.
Okay. Well, we got a caller on the line for you. And matter of fact, he's a good friend of yours. We got.
I can't imagine who it would be, Earl. No,
no clue. You don't even get take a shot.
let me just get. Does the first name begin with J?
Yes, it does. You got it.
That's not Johnny or Jerome either.
No, it isn't.
The one and only Jerry from Hazlitt.
You got it. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Live in Jiminy Cricket, Lynn. Earl, thanks for taking my call. I'm always happy to come on and try and prop up a segment in which these great B journalists come on and try and play their talent. But
what relevant topic do you want for your audience here to discuss? The Yankees or something else at large?
You mean the ones outside of your own expertise, Lynn? That's usually my favorite. I do have a question, though. So first of all, I have an observation. And, Lynn and Earl, as we know this, Lynn has probably felt like he's been behind the ramparts defending Jim Leland. I As someone who is a Yankee fan and someone who really doesn't have a dog in the hunt, I want to say something about Leland that really is not mentioned often enough, and that he is the classiest and most magnanimous, one of the most magnanimous individuals out there when it comes to just his assessment of other players. I mean, he is such a gracious guy. Apart from what, you know, the differences that people may or may not have with his game management. But I've always liked Leland, and I'm glad he's going to be retained. I think he's a real credit to the game, and I commend Lynn for his steadfast explanation, shall we put it that way, of Leland's talents.
I think you make a good point, though, on that, Jerry. And that's not the reason, obviously, that you hire a manager, but when you are a good manager and respected as a good manager, and you can take the time to also consider your competitor and your opponents, and in the name of good sportsmanship and in the name of civil grace, acknowledge them for the professionals and for the champions and for really the outstanding players and teams that they are, then I think that is in the spirit of baseball. And I think Leland gets that better than so many other guys. When it comes down to why they rehired him, we all know that was secondary. But they brought him back really because I don't know why you'd want to disrupt that thing. If you think you're going to get an improvement, then show me with any kind of empirical evidence how you're going to improve upon him and with whom. And I think that's a necessary question to ask. The critics all want him out because they all think the next guy's going to bunt when they want him to bunt, and they're going to hit and run, and they're going to not bring in this reliever, and they won't put into the lineup this particular player that they never want to see again. This is the kind of nonsense that undermines, I think, reasonable and rational criticism of a manager, which is always there to be imparted, because you get so many managers in different situations who are all going to do different things on different days, not with a wide variance, but with enough to make you know that, sure, there's room to wonder about a particular move in a particular circumstance. But these critics, these vehement critics who think he's incompetent, are completely deluding themselves into thinking that the next guy is going to make all the moves they think that are necessary. It just doesn't really open itself up to very rational thought, this drumbeat, the get him out of here stuff.
You know, too, Lynn, the proof of the pudding from my standpoint is we're 0-3 against this guy.
That's a good point, too, Jerry.
You might need, but I do have a quick question, Earl and Lynn. How hard are the Tigers going to pursue, if they are, Rafael Soriano? And what do you see as the track, immediate career track, for Rafael Garcia? And take it easy, then. I look forward to seeing you soon, buddy.
Okay, Jerry, I'll probably see you as early as Saturday. But anyway, question about Rafael Soriano is a good one. He opted out of his Yankees contract and is now a free agent. The difficulty for the Tigers is going to be he is – going to be prohibitively, I think, expensive for multiple years. And they really don't believe that they need that kind of reliever because they've got Bruce Rondon, their 21-year-old 100-mile-an-hour guy, who, by the way, throws strikes and has a tremendous breaking ball. He's probably one of the top, I don't know, maybe 20 prospects in baseball right now. Every time that a team wants to talk trade with the Tigers, it's Rondon. Even though he's 21, the Tigers believe he might be able to come out of spring training and be their regular closer. And if not, I think they believe they can get by with committee until he is seasoned, which shouldn't take very long. But right now, I think he's a pretty good bet to come out of spring camp as a closer. And you won't see any more Todd Jones, Jose Valverde ninth innings, because this guy is an absolute nuclear warhead. He throws on an average of 100. He gets that up to 103, and he's got a very good breaking pitch. And he made as much progress as anybody did last year in the control department. So they think they might be able to use him. But for that reason, Soriano isn't going to be on the radar screen, even though I thought that would be the case because the Tigers normally nail down any particularly important position that isn't resolved very quickly. And yet that's how much they think of Rondon that they're willing to give him the job.
And he's got a bright future ahead of him. How much do Lynn do the Tigers have to spend in free agency this year? Do they have much money available? I know they've got rid of a few contracts, which helps them out. But do they have much money to spend? Because some of those free agents are going to really cost a lot.
That's a great question, and the easy answer is this: not a whole bunch, Earl, because they have so many salary arbitration eligible guys. And I mean, listen to this lineup: Austin Jackson, Max Scherzer, Doug Fister, Alex Avila. You've got all these guys who are up for arbitration. And if you're going to begin to pay them at the norm that people that perform on their level are paid, you're talking about adding $20 million anyway to that payroll next year. So that's going to chew up anything that they gained by losing Inge and Delman Young and Valverde, which means payroll will still increase if they sign the free agents they have to sign, beginning with this corner outfield spot. And a guy like Hunter is going to cost them an easy $12 million a year, if not more, because they'll sign him to multi-years, and that's the reason that he won't sign the qualifying offer with the Angels, just to put this a little bit more into perspective. So you're talking about a payroll next year that probably is going to be an easy 140 or more. And yet I don't think Ilitch will balk at that because they drew $3 million this year. They had six playoff games. And I think they must have made a decent sum of money this year. So we'll see how that plays out, Earl. But I don't think you're going to have the kind of payroll that some people might anticipate. Otherwise, they wouldn't be looking at going with Rondon or others for their closer next year.
Okay, because yes, that's going to be a key spot, obviously, to get that closer solidified. Do you think the young kid will he get a full chance at it during spring training, or do they think he needs one more year of seasoning?
Are you talking about Rondon?
Yeah, Rondon.
No, I think, like I said, I think they're going to probably give him the job, or at least let him show that he can't be trusted with it. And that means if he goes through spring camp throwing strikes, he's probably going to get the job. And if not, I believe they are of the opinion that with Albuquerque and Villarreal and Dotel and Benoit and Coke and company, that they can come away with people who can close until Rondon just gets enough bark on his trunk there to where they can be trusted to throw strikes and inherit the job. But right now, Earl, I think there's a 60 to 65%, maybe even greater chance he's going to be your closer on opening day.
Do you think we're going to see some new sticks in there? I mean, you know how inconsistent the hitting was this year. And, of course, they'll have to replace left and right field. But what about the other infield positions?
I think they're all set with Cabrera at third and with Infante at second and Fielder at first. I think they're in pretty good shape there. And then shortstop, of course, the Peralta thing, that's the question. Now, they've exercised the option on him for $6 million. That was an easy call. That doesn't mean necessarily he's going to be your opening day shortstop. A team like the Diamondbacks wanted to trade for him as a third baseman in July. And I think another team might very well decide that he could be an answer for them at third base. That's something to keep your eye on because the Tigers would still like an upgrade defensively at shortstop, and that's one way to get it. Right now they've got Peralta as an insurance policy, but there's no question they would like to increase their defense there, and that's why I think Peralta might yet be involved in a trade. I don't know if you're going to see a lot of other guys traded. The fan base, a lot of them want them to trade Rick Porcello, but I think that would be a mistake. He's 23. He gets the 180 innings. He needs to just get that breaking ball a bit stronger. And in the bullpen, they say consistently he has a terrific one there. And then for some reason, the movement begins to subside when he takes it to the mound. There's something mechanically that he's doing. They're trying to get that ironed out. But I think it would be a real mistake to sell him low. And for that reason, I don't think you're going to see him leave. I think he and Smiley will be in the rotation next year. They're not going to go after Anibal Sanchez, despite all of the wonderful assurances that they like each other and all this. Anibal Sanchez is going to get a contract for about 4 years and $70 million or something in that vicinity. He might get the most attention of any single free agent out there this autumn. And the Tigers aren't going to be able to afford that, Earl.
Okay. Hey, Lynn, always it's good talking with you. Want to thank you for joining me this afternoon and talking baseball with us. I know you'll probably be up here for the game on Saturday. It should be a good one with Michigan State and Nebraska. You know, it's one of those,
baby.
You know, and the thing is, we've never beaten Nebraska before, so we might get a chance to watch a little history on Saturday.
Well, with this defense and with maybe an offense beginning to flicker, a little hope here, maybe State gets that game. I hope so for everybody's sake up there.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Lynn, I want to thank you for joining us, and always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and I'll see you on Saturday, buddy.
Okay, Earl. Thanks, bud.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Lynn Hemming from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
From Hurricane Katrina to the election of Barack Obama to Trayvon Martin, in a new book, media critic Eric Deggans argues that cable news and talking heads feed on a steady diet of fear and prejudice. And he says the audience can stop it. I'm Neil Conan, Race Bader. Eric Deggans joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on, this short break right here in WKAR. The Talk of the Nation is coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870.
Today's high will be 48 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. Variably cloudy with a low tonight in the low 30s. Friday will be mostly cloudy again with a high in the mid-40s, and then mostly sunny Saturday with a high of 46. I'm Scott Pohl.
Well, you know, now it's time for you to make a call and give Adam something to do, because he's going to be giving away the tickets at the end of the day's show. So if you want to get a chance to win tickets to Michigan State hockey or Michigan State football, give us a call at 884-4870. That's area code 517-884-4870 for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State hockey or Michigan State football. So give us a call, and Alex is there waiting for your call. So give him a call, tell him which ones you want to win, and he'll put your name in one of the hats. One of the hats we'll have two hats for you to draw from. One will be for football and one will be for basketball. Give us a call right now and take a chance on winning tickets for either sport. The games are coming up tomorrow night, and that's going to be happening right here on the MSU campus tomorrow night. The hockey game, or tomorrow night it will be the football game. We give them up for the game on Saturday. So yeah, just give us a call and talk a little sports with us, and chat with the Alex who's been doing a very good job running the board over the past few weeks. And it's always a pleasure having Alex in here. And we want to, I want you to give him a little more work, maybe even give him talk to him a little bit and find out more about him. And just give Alex a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Victor on the line. Victor, how you doing?
Hey, you got your Rolaids handy?
Not yet.
Yeah, because every time I call, you grab those Rolaids out of your pocket. I don't know what this guy's going to say next.
Oh, no, I'm good. I trust you, Victor.
Oh, yeah, right. You trust me like a toothache.
You're a good guy.
Yeah, right. Ask all the people in Lyons. They try to hit me with their cars whenever I walk by.
Well,
no. I'm looking forward to the Michigan State Nebraska game.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Obviously, if I did happen to go to the game, first of all, I'd want to make sure I got seats where I could see the action, but I would definitely be bringing along a radio.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is nothing more cooler than having, I don't care whether it's a basketball game or a baseball game or whatever, but I don't care even if you can see. There's nothing more cooler than being at a game and having access to a radio broadcast to be able to listen to while you're at the game. It adds a whole new feature of the game that just makes it a more enjoyable experience.
It does. You know, and I love listening to George. I wish I could do it there, but George, as you know, great broadcaster, and you hear him on the Pistons games and on Spartan basketball. So Spartan football, that is, and Pistons basketball. So you can bring your radio so you can listen to George.
And he's been around this area for a long time. I bet he knew. Did you know Jerry Marshall?
Oh, yeah.
I used to call him when I was a student at the School for the Blind. I used to call him and say hello to him every morning when he worked on WILS.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I know people in the broadcast industry. But it's too bad that some of these stadiums could not figure out a way somehow to set up a section where they did have speakers that in this particular section where if people were visually impaired, they would be able to access to the broadcast as well as be there at the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the technology is there. It could be done.
I'm just not sure how well they could present it. That's the thing, will it be drowning out? How will it have an impact on the rest of the people?
Well, they need to get Bose speakers and get the right equipment and stuff like that. And, they'd be fine.
Okay.
Tigers, man, I thought that they had... I didn't think they were going to get rid of Peralta. I thought they were going to keep him. I didn't realize that he was still looking, for other offers. I mm-hmm. thought that he was going to be a Tiger next year.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree. I mean, we do, but I think we need more help at second base and shortstop.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. So that's the thing. You got to improve. You're always looking. That's one thing. When you're a general manager, you're always looking to improve your team.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. You tell the Michigan boxers that you have on periodically, I still wish them the best in their careers, man.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, and you just keep up the good work.
Well, I'll certainly try for you, Victor.
And make sure you keep those Rolex in your pocket. Okay,
I'll do that.
Okay, man, have a great day.
Hey, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's our good friend Victor from Lyons talking with us. And Alex, it looks like you're starting to work over there a little bit. Are you getting a lot of calls over there?
Getting a lot of calls, Earl. We've had about 21 football calls. We've got 2 hockey calls so far. If you're looking to get some tickets, there's a lot of football competition, but not much hockey. So if you want to win any tickets at all, better chance calling some hockey. So definitely call in.
Call in. That's 884-4870, 884-4870, area code 517. If you live outside the Greater Lansing area, you can call in and win these very nice hockey tickets or football tickets. Alex, I'm looking at the football tickets. Right now they're in my hand, and the hockey tickets are in my hand, and I just can't wait to give them to some lucky people out there. Somebody will get two nice football tickets or 2 nice hockey tickets, but it's there's some good ones, that's for sure. So just waiting here and we'll give the tickets away in another five or six minutes, and we'll give these tickets away and let some lucky person have a pair of lower bowl seats for the football game and a couple of very good seats for the hockey game. So we've got both. Whichever one wins, you're going to see you're going to have good seats for the game. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Well, Alex, did you like what Lynn had to say about the Tigers?
I did like what Lynn had to say. Obviously, Dave Dombrowski's the guy back there pulling the strings, but even what Victor said, I'm very surprised as well that Johnny Peralta is leaving.
Yep. But this is baseball, you've got, you're always trying to make the team better. And that's sometimes you have to let folks go. Sometimes the fans' favorites and or the people like, and that happens in baseball because if you're the GM, you wouldn't be doing a good job unless you can get somebody better, hopefully better than him, or you know that will step into his spot next year. But that's something that's always you know you want a lot of competition, of course. You never want to just give a guy the job and say it's his job. You don't have to worry. Just come ready to play every day. You can't do that. But you have to do some strong research on the player, and hopefully they'll become a good hitter for you or a good pitcher, whichever one you're looking at. But that's the key. You're always looking. Just remember, put your name in the general manager's chair, because if you're a GM, you have to do something that's going to improve your ball club each and every day. Well, the time now is 51 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. We've got Johnny Walker on the line. Johnny, how you doing?
Hi, Earl. How's it going?
Hey, doing good, buddy.
I have a question on the quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know behind Maxwell we have Cook, because I know Connor, they're trying to redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, as far as it was great to see Maxwell run a little bit against Wisconsin to get the first down at the end of the game.
Yes.
But I know they're a little bit shy as far as him running as much as I think he'd like to, because if he gets hurt, we're down to one quarterback, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I know next year that's going to change. Well, three in the fold, we'll have the freshman coming in from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Do you get an idea that they're trying to be a little cautious with him as far as running right now?
It seems like it. It seems like maybe, or actually, he's getting a little bit more, getting a little bit more opportunities because really, the quarterback has to make the call on the play. They've wanted him to run, but he's preferred to stay back there in the pocket for as long as he can and hit the receiver. So I think now he's starting to look around a little bit because they've encouraged him to take off. You know, if you don't see anybody open, take off and try to pick up the first down with your legs, which he did last week finally. So it's good for him that he's taking that initiative.
And one last question, I'll take it off the air. I know Costello didn't play the other night. He had, bruised his tailbone in practice. Is he going to get a chance to see some action tomorrow night, or are they going to try to wait it out until the game in Germany? Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. Well, I would think you'd see him tomorrow night, especially if he's healthy. If he's healthy, there's no doubt he'll play. He's going to be a key contributor for this team this year. So if Costello's is healthy, you'll see him out there playing and banging with the other guys. So yes, just look for him. Hopefully he's healthy, and if he is healthy, he's going to play tomorrow night. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call, Talk Sports with us, and we're going to give the tickets away in another couple of minutes. So you got them all put in the hat there. Are you ready to draw them, Alex?
We'll be ready to draw him. We'll give him a couple of minutes. We'll draw him at 1:55.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll give him a couple of minutes, and then we'll draw them at 1:55 this afternoon. And so, now we've talked basketball, football today. We haven't talked to Pistons basketball, and the Pistons had their season opener last night, and they lost. No surprise there. Tom Gores thinks they're going to make the playoffs, but Joe D and Lawrence Frank were both quiet on that part. I got a feeling that they don't think that the Pistons are a playoff caliber team. I don't think they're a playoff caliber team in either, but yeah, I guess you could say that they'll be a borderline. I think they'll be borderline whether they make the playoffs and go into the playoffs. If they do make it, that'll be a plus for this team. That means they'll be a little bit further ahead than what people thought. But that's them. So we'll have to see that. They lost their first one. I don't put too much stock in these first two or three games. But once we get past 4 to 5 games and on further, then you better start looking at how is this team playing? Are they playing good enough defense? Are they shooting well enough? That's going to be a problem probably all year long unless they can pick up another shooter or two, because they need somebody who can put the ball in the bucket. That's where they're lacking at right now. So hopefully they'll pick someone up or two players up, or there's plenty of players out there, or trade for somebody that can help them on the offensive end. How about Harden, who signed with Houston? The trade and trade has worked out great for him, and it started out with 37 last night. So it's going to be good. And of course, Miami's off to the fast start again. They're better than what they were when they won the championship, last year. So it looks like they're better, and Ray Allen's going to help them a lot. He's going to help them a ton. So that's how basketball is, but we'll be talking more Spartan basketball, of course, over the upcoming weeks before they go to Germany, and when they come back from Germany, we'll talk about Spartan basketball. Well, okay, Alex, let's get ready to get those winners out and tell the people who, first off, let's see who win the hockey tickets.
All right, Earl, the winner of the hockey tickets, we had a couple callers for that, is Stephen Timmett from DeWitt. I hope you're listening, Stephen. Congratulations.
Okay, and now for the football tickets.
All right, this is going to cause some confusion here because there are two people that called in with similar names. So the winner for football tickets is Shirley Gay, not Shirley Gates from Lansing. So Shirley Gay, congratulations. You won yourself a pair of football tickets.
Okay, so we get even away the football and the hockey tickets. So congratulations to our winners. And Alex will be calling you after the show to tell you where to come at and everything. So you'll hear from him right after the show is over. So give us we don't have much time left, just a couple of minutes. So if you want to talk, actually, Alex, I wanted to ask you, you probably didn't get a chance to see much of the Pistons game last night, did you?
I caught a little bit of it. I watched a couple snippets of it. Brandon Knight, yeah, he looked like a leader. He looks like he's improved a lot. Of course, when he was drafted, Earl, I'm sure you know, he has a very high ceiling.
Yes.
There's a lot expecting of him. And then especially with the rookie Andre Drummond, it's going to be interesting to see how his potential will be reached at the end of this year.
Yeah, because I don't think he'll reach. I think he probably would just be scratching the surface this year. But he's got a long way to go and a lot to learn after playing only 1 year of college ball. I just can't see how he learned that much in this 1 year. But he you can see his potential. And that's the thing. Kids leave college early to go to the pro because it's always better to leave after 1 year and then go in the pros and then, because they say you've got all this kind of potential. Well, you might reach the potential, but you might not reach your potential. But you're always drafted on your potential. That's what they look at. And if you have a lot of potential, if they have a lot of potential, then yes, that's what happens. But it doesn't work that you know anything or that you're so good. They draft you on how they think you're going to be 4 or 5 years from now. They don't draft you right now for how good you are right now because they know you're going to struggle. Like most players, they struggle a lot. Some guys are good. Very few players are very good in that first year. There are a few, but there are not that many that are very good. So you can see that they're drafting somebody on their potential. And if they have a lot of potential, you'll get a chance to play some. Now, Alex, I got to tell you one thing I did last night. I was watching one of the movie channels, and they were showing a lot of the old movies.
Oh, yeah.
Really old scary Halloween movies, like Frankenstein and The Bride of Frankenstein, The Mummy. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching The Mummy.
Bro, were you Frankenstein back in the day?
No. I used to love to watch it, though. I loved watching the Frankenstein movies and the Mummy movies.
Hey, sports on Halloween's great, too.
It is. So hopefully you all have a very good week night and good Halloween. So I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for giving us a call, talking sports today. I want you to come back and join us tomorrow for the Friday edition here on Sports Talk 870. We'll have Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp with us on the Friday edition. Hey, once again, thank you all for listening. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing in Michigan State University. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR. I want to 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So come and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
From NPR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.